plans for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
This is Richie Incognito of the Buffalo Bills. You're listening to Locked On Bills, presented by Cover One.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Bills, a Victory Monday here. I'm Kevin Misery, and followed here with Nate Geary. Nate, how you doing today?
I feel like everybody else in Buffalo on a Buffalo Bills win football Monday. They are so much better, so much lighter. The mood at work, you know, you kind of walk in with that like extra pep in your step, like you're the Fonz basically. It felt good walking into work today like I was the Fonz, and it felt good coming after a big Bills win.
Doesn't everyone get that extra feeling? Like, I mean, I just feel like every workplace, everyone's talking about it. No one wants to bring it up first. That's kind of how I always, you know, picture it, where you walk in, everyone's like kind of thinking the same thing. No one's really saying anything, but you know what they want to say, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, like everybody, it's like the water cooler talk, except everyone's sort of waiting to be the person that like starts that conversation, because then, you know, for the next 40 minutes, everyone's going to talk about, you know, their armchair general manager and head coach takes on the game and, you know, how crappy Tyrod played. It didn't matter what he was going to do, because, you know, he'll always be Tyrod kind of talk, which, you know, is going to happen. But either way, you got to feel good about a win. It doesn't matter who it is. And I'll tell you what, I left feeling really impressed, because that Tampa Bay Buccaneer team is just a light years more talented team than the Bills, and the Bills schooled them. And I the thing that I watched after the game, I go up on NFL.com and I watch the post-game press conferences from the coaches. And Dirk Koetter, after the game, I thought said the most, I think it was the highest thing that another coach, highest honor another coach could give another team. And he said, you know, that Bills team doesn't beat themselves. And I think that's maybe the best praise I've heard another coach say of a Bills team that I can remember in a very long time.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this specific game is I think that offense is way better than their 2-4 record shows. That team's going to win some games, I think, down the stretch. I don't know if they're going to make a push for the playoffs if they put themselves in a little bit of a hole. But that Buccaneers team has some serious weapons on offense. They have two tight ends. They have two receivers. They have one running back. An okay offensive line and a quarterback that, quite frankly, I didn't know could throw the ball. On Friday, you know, came in and had a, you know, 380-yard passing day. So that's a big win for the Bills. There's no doubt about it. Even at home, even when you were up 11 and could have been up more, that's an absolutely huge win. It's huge that Tyrod got the 7-point thing off his back with never coming back down 7 points. I think it happened once. So once or twice. So it's good to have that off his back. I know the 4-point, we came back in Tennessee, right? So he didn't really have that ability to come back in games. He did against Miami at the end of last year, even though he blew it in overtime. So he has had the raw deal. And it's funny that the tides are starting to turn just slightly on Tyrod Taylor, Nate. Any opinion quickly on the general population feeling on a Victory Monday for Tyrod Taylor?
Well, I think people, specifically Bills fans, they sort of look around, they see the national media, and all of them always seem to have this positive spin on Tyrod Taylor. And a lot of people always equated to, well, you know, they're not watching, they can't, you know, they're not seeing the three and outs that we have to deal with and all this other stuff. And, you know, Doug Farr today from Bleacher Report quote tweeted my tweet, and I was like, you know, I think it was what Zay Jones, the quote that Zay Jones had about Tyrod, about his leadership and how much, you know, they love playing with him and for Taylor. And I said, you know, this is right here a glaring example of why Nathan Peterman's probably not going to see the field unless Tyrod gets injured. It's just, he's not going to be benched. And I think the words that Zay Jones spoke about it, I thought really personified exactly why he will be the remaining, you know, starting quarterback for the remaining of the season, no matter how it goes, in my opinion. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's, you don't know what you got until it's gone. So hopefully, you know, I think this organization respects exactly what Taylor's about. I think he sort of personifies what McDermott and Bean want from their players. So I think that even if they do draft a quarterback this year, which I fully expect them to, that Tyrod's likely a guy that could still be in the fold for the next few years.
Absolutely. And he's a guy that's still under contract. Right. A lot of people forget about that fact that it's not a it really isn't a 1 year deal. It does have an option year, and I fully expect the Bills to accept it at this point. And if nothing else, like you mentioned, he will be your starter to start week one next year, with, you know, most likely an incumbent behind him. And look at what happened to Alex Smith. His play was elevated. You know, he's playing the best of his career with, you know, Patrick Mahomes right behind him. So I think it can lead to good competition. Tyrod Taylor's no one that shies away from competition. And, you know, I think you're putting yourself in a bind if you caught him and you're rolling with a rookie week one, and, you know, really backing him up would be Nathan Peterman. So I think that there's no doubt that Tyrod Taylor's options picked up at this point. Anything could happen in the next 8 weeks, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. We don't really know where his play progresses, but if he keeps slowly making progress toward the ultimate goal, and if he does lead the team to a winning record, you know, playoffs or not, I think that there's no option but to bring him back. Right, Nate?
I mean, not only that, but I think you really have to tip your cap to Rick Dennison. I know he was under fire a lot, you know, early on because of the struggles the offense had. A lot of them were being pinned on him, and it was him trying to put a new system in. And it's not that the players weren't willing to accept the system like I think it was under Rex. And they talked a little bit about this morning on GR, and I really agreed with it. And it's under this coaching staff, they're much more willing to listen and maybe not be so boisterous about their own systems or their own coaching styles or beliefs. And they listen to and maybe mold their self a little bit more to the likings of their players. And you know what? You have to commend a guy like Rick Dennison, who is a proud guy coming from the Shanahan zone running scheme, the outside zone scheme, the Shanahan and the who else was the other main person that came? Oh, Kubiak, right. Kubiak and Shanahan. So that outside zone running scheme that worked a lot in the NFL over the past 10 years. And it's interesting because he's really sort of shaped the offense to better fit Tyrod Taylor. And he's starting to sort of reap the benefits of this system, not change, but I guess this system blending, I guess I would say, more than a change.
Absolutely. And we said it early on that Rick Dennison is going to have a scheme that fits Tyrod Taylor. We're starting to see it a little bit. You know, and what's really good is once the running game gets going, as we've started to see again, post-Jets game, you know, it really disappeared for a couple of weeks and got back going again. And that really opens the door to you really seeing a full gamut of what Tyrod Taylor can do, with people spreading out, with being able to get to the edge, running the ball. There's a lot of things that have opened up with the ability to run the football that, you know, teams aren't stacking the boxes, kind of shutting down their first and foremost option. I think what really opened the game, their ability to go deep to Deontay Thompson. I think that opened up the game. I think that opened up the tight end. I think that it opened up plays across the field and in the running game. So just having that threat that if you're not going to cover him, Tyrod's going to find him.
Yeah, and I think finally, you know, they released Kalen Clay today, and I think, you know, ultimately what they wanted from Kalen Clay is what Deontay Thompson brought in 3 days of being here, and I think they looked at Kalen and said, okay, well, he's essentially overtaken your position, and listen, you know, Deontay Thompson has a ton of experience playing alongside Tyrod Taylor. They were teammates for a long time. He mentioned it as much that their time on the practice squad has really molded a chemistry that's very difficult to build in off seasons together, like you can with like him and Charles Clay or him and Sammy Watkins when he was here. You know, there's only so much that during the summertime when you do spend a good portion of that time in your hometown, you know, like you're not going to be spending a ton of time, in my opinion, anyways, they didn't with your quarterback. So where's the best place you can do that? You know, when you're developing in a scheme that, oh, by the way, was the scheme together in Baltimore, I think that was huge for not only Tyrod, but I think it's huge for Deontay coming into the system being an easy squeeze in. He only needed 3 days of preparation and he looked like he had been here all season long. That's huge for them and a willing blocker too. So I think he wears that number 10 well because he reminded me a lot of what Robert Woods brought to this team over the past few years when hit with him here. So I arrow up with Deontay for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Deontay's a guy that I've liked. I liked since we had him in camp a couple of years ago. I thought that he kind of faced one of those Rod Streeter type of injuries that got him off the roster, immediately picked up by Chicago, and has been there ever since. They released him in weird fashion a couple of weeks ago, and their receiving corps is pretty beat up as well. They wanted to elevate their version of Brandon Riley and I think Gentry. And the next thing you know, he's free, trying to go to New England. We're calling him while he's on a visit in New England, basically saying, you're going to be our third, you know, second or third or fourth receiver here from day one. we'll give you a deal. You know, you want to come in, you want to get some playing time, you know, want to play on a competitive team, fly to Buffalo right now and we'll sign you and you'll be on this team. So that's just a little bit about what happened with Deontay. I think he possesses that speed. He's actually a fairly decent kick returner, so he does possess that as well in his back pocket. You saw Brandon Tate's, who had an okay game in Cincinnati. You saw his snaps basically reduced to zero. You saw Kalen Clay inactive and, you know, furthermore cut today for a cornerback depth there. And so McCray. So you saw a little bit about, you saw Deontay Thompson come in after 4 days. And, you know, really what stuck out to me was last year when Jeremy Curley went to San Francisco and is able to do the same exact thing where he's was their number one receiver by like week two. So it was pretty crazy that a receiver can come in if it's the same system and learn that within 3 or 4 days and, you know, be going for 100+ yards. It's very unique. And you find a guy like that, that has that kind of chemistry with your quarterback. That's a no brainer for a wide receiver too. Wide receiver. I mean, he's our wide receiver too right now, in my opinion, Nate.
Yeah, no question. And I think what you saw too was a concerted effort this week to really get Zay Jones' confidence up. I mean, 7 targets at one point, and I know he only had like 2 catches, but it's about just allowing his confidence to gradually build and build and build. And, you know, it sucks because as a young player, I really think that he was thrust into an unfair situation, and that is the NFL. Like, guys don't always get a great situation to go into as a young player, and I don't think Zay was meant to be a team's number one receiver, but here he is. And, you know, in week 5 of an NFL or, you know, week 6 of an NFL season of your rookie year coming from, in my opinion, a lower level Division I school. I mean, the talent, the speed, the processing, everything that goes into being a good NFL wide receiver takes time to build. And he just hasn't had that time yet. And I think he's been placed under an unfair microscope. But I think Deontay, what he does is maybe allows a more slower development with Zay, where he doesn't have such a burden to kind of carry the load as the wide receiver for this team. And obviously, you know, that leaves Jordan Matthews to get fully healthy as well. And I think that rounds out to be a nice 3 with Andre Holmes as your 4. And I was always fine with Andre Holmes as a 4th receiver. But once you start talking to me about him being your number 2 receiver, I've got real issues.
Yeah, I got some real thoughts on this wide receiving core, and I got some real thoughts from some stats, from some PFF numbers from yesterday. But you know, before I break into those, I would have wanted to mention, you know, mybookie.ag, one of the best sports bookie places out there. Give it a run. It's mybookie.ag. You get 100% sign-up bonus if you use the code Locked On.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, well, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Go out there. There's some great lines this coming week. You know, the Bills are favored by 3. Go out there, do your thing. Mybookie.ag, one of the better, you know, sites to go on and, you know, place your bets and get rocking. Use the code Locked On. But as you go into, you know, this wide receiving core, and I'm hard on Andre Holmes. I was in preseason. I was, you know, there with you. We got to see him in person quite frequently. I thought he had a lot of drops. He does run a decent deep route, and he'll tell you that. But he just does not have any chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. He struggled in his latter portion of his career with Oakland in terms of drops. He got beat out by Seth Roberts in a very aerial offense. So I don't really see it from him as a receiver. He's a very good special teams player. I see him in gunning units. I see him pretty much in all of our special teams units. So he does possess value. He's on this team for special teams, in my opinion, like you mentioned, as a wide receiver 4. So I'm fine with that. But as you started pushing him up to 3, he can only run a limited route tree, Nate.
He can, you're right. And what I do like from him, though, specifically are those sideline routes when Taylor's moving. I think he presents a really nice large target for Taylor to throw to, which I think, you know, to make him most successful, you need to give him guys. That's why I always liked Logan Thomas as a guy in this offense to develop into a tight end too, even with, you know, a healthy Charles Clay, because I liked his size. I liked his athleticism. I liked his ability to create mismatches. I mean, you look at that Tampa Bay team that came in on Sunday. And I mean, you're talking about a team full on offense of mismatches, guys that they've got 5 deep that can create mismatch nightmares for defenses. And the Bills didn't really, and still, in my opinion, don't really have a ton of those types of players. Then all of a sudden in a week, you see that Tywan Jones, a type of mismatch player. He doesn't have that exact position, but he's the kind of guy that if you have him lined up in his athleticism against a linebacker or a slower footed safety or a smaller safety like TJ Ward. You see Logan Thomas has that height differential. And those are things that good coaches take advantage of. It's maybe not a scheme, but it's taking advantages of mismatches. And like I mentioned, I mean, you look at the best teams, it's always New England that you talk about, but that's why they get those accumulation of all these different types of guys. They look for a certain type of player because they know that in their scheme, it creates mismatches.
Yeah. And it's funny you bring up New England too, because they were one of the teams that were in on Deontay Thompson as they're sitting there, you know, basically having Philip Dorsett not being utilized and the trade, which looks to be Brissett, who, you know, he is what he is, but he looks to be like, it looks like Indy finally got the better end of a trade, in my opinion. Brissett's a very capable 1B quarterback, capable, you know, might be one of the better players on his team, which isn't saying much, but
right.
but it does say that New England is after these type of receivers, and they are willing to trade basically, you know, one of their quarterback assets for it, which is also an important position. So, and then they are trying out Deontay Thompson, and the Bills had to basically call his agent and say, hey, we have Tyrod Taylor here. You have instant connection. Wide receiver three. There's a lot going on in this situation, and he got in, he proved it, and I think he deserves full reps next week. I really do think you see him 50, you know, 40 to 50 snaps instead of his 12 that he received, and one of the best grades that PFF's ever given out, especially for only 12 snaps. So you saw a great play from Deontay Thompson. He was basically the reason they were able to get down the field on the final drive of the game, prior to the field goal, the touchdown, you know, LeSean McCoy's second touchdown run drive, where ran a great route. No one, pretty much Tampa's defense said, I don't think you're going to throw that ball.
I'll tell you what, he presents I think an interesting matchup, because it's interesting. You look at, and one of the things everyone said about the Bills and the remaining wide receivers in this team is that, man, they're all slot receivers. Well, so is Deontay. Deontay's not really a guy that you're throwing on the outside who's going to run against the team's number one corner, but he's a perfect, in my opinion, number three option. But in this offense, there's a lot of flexibility now at the wide receiver position, because you have three guys that can all rotate in the slot. And this is an offense that you're seeing feels very comfortable attacking the middle field, a vast, vast difference from last year, where there is a concerted effort to make plays on the hashes. And I think that's huge for the personnel this team has. But, you know, in terms of Deontay, yeah, I mean, he absolutely is going to be fully integrated in this offense, in my opinion, about 2 weeks, where he's likely the number two, number three option moving forward. And I think it is going to allow Rick Dennison to really open up this passing offense into a more diverse passing offense, to passing more out of more traditional run looks. And I think you're starting to see that as the offense progresses, as they're coming out in three tight end looks or 22 personnel, where, you know, you're looking at a traditional run look, especially with LeSean McCoy, and boom, you hit a team with a pass. Or, you know, I thought that Logan Thomas play was a perfect example of that. It was really loading up for a run look and hitting them behind on a pass leg. And those are the types of plays that I think game planning, this offense is going to have to thrive in the area of scheming and game planning, because they just simply don't have the type of talent to beat the best defenses in this league.
Yeah, and absolutely. And they've shown it. I mean, against Carolina and even Cincinnati, they've shown it that they didn't have the talent to do anything different to beat them. They were struggling. You know, they were out a couple key players against Cincinnati specifically, but you're right. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, scheme up differently each game, and you're going to see different packages depending on who's active, and they're going to need to see more Logan Thomas. You're going to need to see more Nick O'Leary, and you're going to need to see more Deontay Thompson, and hopefully Jordan Matthews, because he wasn't, I won't say he was a decoy Jordan Matthews this week, but, you know, he caught two passes, one of which was the end of the first half, you know, catch. And he was basically, I don't want to say he's full strength, but he, you know, that he was still off a little bit, and they were still limiting his usage.
Yeah, no question. And I think that's for the better. And his role, I think, was effective. Like, I think they needed a guy like that to be out there that could, you know, draw the attention of Vernon Hargraves, who, again, I just, and Brent Grimes, I think both those corners, I think that defense is really going to hold back the Buccaneers for being a successful team this year. I mean, we haven't even really had an opportunity to talk about the defense the Bills played, because I think that, you know, what's been overshadowed is the end of that game and the Bills offense coming back and finally coming through. And sure, that's fine and dandy, but I really, there are two guys on the defensive side of the ball that I think are warranted for us to talk about too. And that's Tre'Davious White, because he's a guy that I think maybe is maybe too hard on himself, because I don't think he maybe understands yet quite in the NFL, you know, the talent that he's going to face weekend. Every team's got a number one receiver, and usually those are very good players. If he's going to give up his fair share of plays, but what I love about him, is he always seems to be there to make the play that you need. And I'm going to say this, you know, and I've started to formulate a piece that I'm going to have up at WGR550.com, but you know, I think in terms of what they got in Tre'Davious White really signifies maybe the changing of guard, because in my opinion, the Bills outsmarted the New England Patriots. And for the first time, I think it's super evident because, you know, the Bills replaced.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, well, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You know, the Bills replaced Stephon Gilmore, who they paid a boatload of money, with two rookie contracts. And in my opinion, they're better off for it. So that's the first time you can really hang your hat and say, listen, our coaching staff, this organization, they outsmarted the New England Patriots.
Yeah, no, it's really good. As we talked about this on our last live show, is the over the cap tweet that they had with the Bills, comparing the Bills cornerback situation to the Patriots situation. And basically, the Bills are able to, you know, for anyone was didn't tune into that show, the Bills are able to revamp their entire starting four for the same cost that the Patriots paid Stephon Gilmore, and actually positively next year, Stephon's contract actually goes up, and the Bills are actually, depending on if Gaines resigns and what he resigns for, are very much to the pro on being able to build an entire secondary, not to mention the trade back that got him an extra first round pick, which isn't even part of this discussion. And, you know, really continue to build, because those four players are playing better than the entire four defensive backs they had last year in each respective spot. So the safety play was not very good last year. Darby kind of, you know, kind of, he had a sophomore slump. Gilmore, you know, was hit and miss. You know, he does do his Gilmore thing where he does show a lot on tape that is positive. So they're to revamp an entire secondary for basically, what did you give up not re-signing Gilmore? I would say that that's a job really well done by the team. And that's, quite frankly, Nate, the reason they're in the position they are today was they were able to rebuild one of their weakest position groups going into the offseason for a fraction of the cost, and be in great shape going into the offseason with multiple picks to continue to grow and revamp and put a little bit more depth on that defensive backfield. So really great job there. Really great job finding Leonard Johnson, a scheme guy that fits their scheme perfectly. Didn't have a great game, in my opinion, yesterday, but did make some plays and did actually receive a fairly decent PFF grade, which I thought was interesting. And Sharice Wright, another scheme fit guy that can do a few things well. You know, he's not perfect, but he's a fine fourth cornerback, as long as we're not using him too much as a number two.
Right. And, you know, listen, I look at this defense, I look at the offense, I look at this team in general, and you look at it as a three-phase team. This is a team that is beating teams with all three phases of the game. They're beating them on turnovers. They're not beating themselves. And this is the sort of team that can be successful in the NFL, because you look across the league, the talent level really has, it's plateaued in terms of a lot of teams are right around the same. And I still don't like the Bills' overall talent level as a team against a lot of teams in the NFL and teams that are worse than them in terms of record this year. But you can't really overstate enough the culture that has absolutely overtaken that locker room, that I think has overtaken, even in my opinion, the media, the way that the team is being reported on. And I think that even – and I think it's what Terry and Kim probably saw when – you know, they were in an interview with him, and all of a sudden they want to be, they feel like they want to run things differently because of Sean. And listen, man, the guy after the game, that speech with, you know, with him and Kyle, to me, he really shows in this early part of the season that he's absolutely the real deal. And I feel very good about the direction of this organization, as long as he's the one that's running it.
Absolutely. And he puts his guys in place. He gives them a position to succeed. He gives Rick all the power that he needs to be a good offensive coordinator, and gives him the autonomy necessary. Even when there's coaching blunders, quite frankly, there's no way around the way that the first half ended
right
this week. And I mean, I'm sure that's been talked about ad nauseum everywhere across the internet, across media, across everywhere. I don't think there's any other way to put it than either Tyrod or Rick or or Sean thought they had another timeout. I really think that that's the explanation. I think that they didn't realize they had burned two earlier. I think that's the most likely. They keep telling me that they can run up and snap the ball in 12 seconds. I don't even know that Aaron Rodgers.
I disagree. And even that, that was a tough play. You got to know that in that situation that you can't have a ball over the middle of the field, that it's either end zone or sideline, or it has to be incomplete. And that you want to give yourself more than 1 second, even if you do, like you're going up in there, maybe getting 1 second if you're lucky.
Right,
and you just don't want to leave it to the discretion of a referee to make that decision, whether or not there should be a second or not in the clock. So it's like, you know what, just throw that ball out of bounds. You have a great kicker and maybe, you know, he obviously misses that 40, whatever it was, 46 yard field goal. Tough, you know, but then he comes back, he hits that 50 yard. Talk about a guy with short memory. You missed that kick, and I think the stadium felt a little let down. I even think the team felt like, you know, like I felt like they at that point thought that a score there would really maybe, you know, I don't want to say put things away, but instead of 10-6, I really thought it should have, and I think you tweeted it, it should have been like 23-6 at one point, in my opinion, but the missed opportunities here and there, obviously not scoring before the half. This is a team that, even though you look at how bad Tampa Bay beat themselves against the Bills in retrospect didn't quite beat themselves as bad. There were still opportunities for this team to be better, and that has to be the encouraging thing.
And absolutely. And the fact that they've dropped from one of the most penalized team in the league to being the third least penalized team in the league, which really interesting, Bills. I was actually just looking at the penalty stats and, you know, alluding to not beating yourselves. They didn't face a penalty until pushing someone like a 50-50 call out of bounds into the third quarter. Which is remarkable to me. No holdings, no pre-snap motions, nothing. A 50-50 call out of bounds, and you know that was the extent of your first penalty into the third quarter. And you know they're playing clean football. They're playing clean football. Actually, they're actually, to be fair, on the other end of the ball, they're actually receiving one of the least amount of penalties for too. So you would think that they're getting they're dominating the penalty net yards. They're not. Teams, you know, they're third fewest, and the teams that actually in Bills games, it's got to be one of the most least penalized games in the NFL because they're also bottom three in receiving penalty yards. So it's very interesting that when the Bills play that it's a very unpenalized game, which I guess, you know, you wouldn't really realize just because the Bills aren't being penalized. But, you know, Tampa wasn't really hit hard either. I mean, they weren't hit too hard. They did let him play. Blakeman let him play, which is nice. Very cool to see over someone. Like Morelli, you know, Pete Morelli late in the game is, you know, throwing flags that are just 50-50 calls that are changing games. And, you know, he's deciding games for the team. So it is good to see, you know, a ref lets him play clean outside of something egregious. You know, it was a pretty clean game. The Bills did not beat themselves outside of a LeSean McCoy fumble. I can't really, you know, a couple of small missed opportunities, Nate. I can't really recall a time where the Bills, you know, did something where they beat themselves. So I think that that's, you know, super positive, you know, step in the right direction. If you're going to win the turnover battle, no matter who you're playing against, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you're going to win some games. So especially when you're plus 10 at this point in the year, you know, that alludes to the playoffs. And if they can keep that up, Nate.
Keeping it up is going to be the key, Kevin. And I think that maybe leads us into looking forward and into this week. And, you know, honestly, I feel better about this game going into it against the Raiders than I did against Tampa Bay, because I looked at the weapons that that Tampa Bay boasted on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I don't quite tower or cower in the face of what Oakland brings. You know, Amari Cooper coming off a big game last week, obviously. But I really like his matchup against Tre'Davious White. I think Tre'Davious White's the kind of guy, especially without E.J. Gaines, that's likely going to be shadowing Amari Cooper around the field. And let's hope for EJ Gaines' sake that that he is back this week, because I think, you know, Michael Crabtree's had quite a season so far for that Raiders team. But I think Derek Carr is a guy that is more mobile than he's given credit for. So that's going to be something that they need to really pay attention to this week. But I don't think I really think this is the best run defense in the league, the Bills anyways. And so I don't really go into a game worrying about the run game anymore. And that's nice. When you're going in this league and you can really focus on stopping the pass. But this is going to be another week where I think if you can hold Oakland to under, you know, 400 yards of offense, I think that this is a game that's very winnable and an opportunity to go to 5-2 and I think really get a lot of respect across the league.
Yeah, 5-2 and then go into a Thursday game against the Jets. I mean, you're in prime position to make some noise and to really get to the ultimate goal at that point. So you're really pushing your odds in your favor if you can come away with a home win and then a Thursday road win when, you know, the Jets are starting to finally start to lose some games in like really collapsing fashion. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at Oakland, and to me, if you can make a team one dimensional, and in this case, it's their fault, A, we can stop the run, and B, you know, they had their number one running back suspended. You know, Jalen Richard is their backup. I mean, you're not really presenting much of a challenge. They don't really love to run the ball anyways. So, you know, you're giving yourself a chance to win. I think, like you mentioned, I actually think Tampa Bay's offense is pretty good. They're actually number one in a lot of categories right now, playing some pretty good teams too. So you're going up against an Oakland offense that, you know, basically Cooper was a game or two away from fans calling him for him to be benched. You know, he was that unproductive. And then, I mean, you have Crabtree, who's pretty good, and, you know, he can do some things, but, you know, Jared Cook, who's hit and miss, and then you don't really have much behind that. So if anything happens depth-wise in that game, or someone has to sit out, it's an immediate play for the Bills. You know, you can get to Derek Carr. He's been sacked. He's been hurt. So, I mean, there's opportunities to win that game. I actually think Casey's defense, you know, for as good as they've been, you know, hasn't been very good this year. So, I mean, that kind of allowed Amari Cooper. They've been pretty, having Marcus Peters, they've been pretty bad in the secondary. And, you know, Oakland was able to run wild. And that comeback should have never happened last week. And after a push off, you know, Kansas City's fourth and goal and the 12 or whatever with one play left, I mean, Oakland stole that game, and then they'd be coming into Buffalo pretty much dead in the water, Nate. So do you think they're coming off of that motivation off that Kansas City win, or do you think that it was, you know, they could come in at 2-5 and it wouldn't have mattered?
I still think that the West to East is going to be a really tough travel for them. And quite honestly, I think I would have rather them coming off of getting them off of a win this week than actually getting them off a loss, where I think maybe they're even playing more desperate football next week, knowing that if they lose against Buffalo, it's over. This week, you know, they based on Denver losing again, the Chargers are, I think, the same record as they are. You know, I feel like maybe this is a game that, you know, maybe they don't get everything that Oakland has to offer. And I think that's going to play in the hands of the Bills this week.
Absolutely. And the Bills have proven that they can defend the home field, especially under McDermott, 3-0. They're getting a team from West to East, generally in the East Coast favor. So you got a couple stats in your favor. I mean, you're favored by 3. Oakland's defense outside of Khalil Mack doesn't scare me. And then you have their offense, which we all know what it is. But if you can, once again, make them one-dimensional, that game really sticks out in the Bills' favor. And, you know, that's Oakland's 3-4 for a reason. It's not because they're the best team in the league. They do present some challenges, and they do present some challenges offensively. But once again, just like Tampa Bay, very similar team. They're coming in with a defense that's not able to stop anybody. And they weren't able to stop Kansas City at all. And many teams they've really struggled against. So Nate, I mean, what do you see in this game?
Interestingly enough, you know, it'll be interesting for me to see what happens to Jordan Poyer. Is he a guy that can come back and be 100% this week? Because I think he's a huge loss if they don't. You know, I do like Trey Elston, though. I will say that I think that I'm glad they brought him back. I feel a little bit better if he's back there. Then, you know, but obviously everybody would rather have Poyer and Hyde are both guys that are just irreplaceable in this defense right now. They're going to be a huge, you know, they're going to be a huge factor in this game. I think turnovers continue to play their role. This is a team in Oakland that will turn the ball over. Derek Carr has a tendency to, you know, throw into coverages that he shouldn't. I think the Bills need to take advantage of that. I think they need to get to him. You know, he's still dealing with that back issue. He had a fractured back 4 weeks ago. So this is a guy that I think if you get too early, you can rattle his cage a little bit, and they don't have a power run game. So they really struggle in the red zone now. And listen, I think it's a very winnable game. I think it's a needed game going into this, especially knowing that New England, you know, wins on Sunday night, and you know, Atlanta just looks like a shell of the team. They were Steve Sarkisian's just, I mean, terrible play calling for Atlanta. And I watched that game yesterday, and I felt very good about Rick Dennison, to be completely honest with you. So I took that from there. But no, this is going to be interesting sort of stretch of games here. New Orleans looks really good. That's obviously who they play after the Jets. But the Jets, obviously, as you mentioned, kind of coming back to earth there. So I think if they can win this week, getting to 6-2 would be, I mean, Kevin, that would be that'd be huge.
I think people had them at 2-6. So
right.
I think it's absolutely remarkable that you're even having a conversation about 6-2 of it being semi-realistic. I mean, that's just, I think, will blow any Bills fan's mind at this point of the season, where, I mean, we were probably talking about trying to get to 500 at some point here. But instead, I mean, you're looking forward to, you know, a home game and then a very winnable road game on Thursday night to be 6-2 and to really put yourself into position. I think that no one would have bet in their wildest dreams this season would have turned out to that. Maybe next season with all these draft picks, but definitely not this season. This so early on that the team's coming together. They're playing as a team. Like you mentioned, there's something inside that locker room. You can't really account for a team. You can't account for individual players. You can't count for a team, especially in the NFL where teams are, it's such a fine line. It's you know, the parity is not very large. So, you know, just a couple of things that a team does, stay out of injuries. Charles Clay, still one of the only injuries. I don't think there's much of a drop off between Ramon Humber and Matt Milano, especially after recording the kind of game he had last week or yesterday, I should say. And actually, he's one of the, you know, had one of the best linebacker performances, you know, scoring in the 80s on PFF. So, I mean, you're having a ridiculous team that's been healthy. And that's what I've said about Cincinnati or Minnesota a lot of years. That team, those teams stay very healthy and they're able to achieve the goal by going 9-7, 10-6 every year because they quite frankly aren't playing their backups as much as other teams. The Bills are in there with their third, you know, their third offensive tackle and their fourth safety. And many years past, I mean, they're just so injury ridden. They have 20 players on IR underneath some of those, you know, Jaron teams and underneath some of those, you know, Chan Gailey teams. And, you know, those teams had 20, 25, they have no one on IR. They have a couple of guys waiting for an injury settlement, but they don't have anyone on IR except Colt Anderson, who's their fourth safety and has never really played this season. So that's crazy at this point in the year when there's a lot of attrition. There's a lot of people with major knee injuries, you know, and the Bills were able to come out with a knee scope from their top tight end and, you know, one of their, you know, linebackers who was playing pretty good, should be back anytime now. Jordan Matthews was able to, Ramon Humber, I would think would be able to put a club on that. He did finish the game that week too. So you would expect him to be back at some point in the next week or two. So with that, Nate, you know, you got a few final questions and, you know, that's what we're going to do. Lynch still out Sunday, Eduardo wants to know. I believe so. Anything
he's
new?
Suspended. Yep. He's suspended for a game. I know that he was appealing, but I think he doesn't have the same luxury as like Ezekiel Elliott where you appeal and get to play. It's just a one game. So I think he's going to serve that suspension.
And it's pretty cut and dry on video. There's no like evidence or court case needed in this case. It's there. Everyone's seen it. It's that the appeal is going to look at it and be like, yay or nay. It actually should come down in the next day or two. Cooper really drops it a lot. Yeah. And I mean, he's actually one of the, you know, the highest drop rates, I think, since coming in the league, Nate, right?
Yeah. And you look at some of the drops too, they're egregious. You know, they're wide open slant routes where it just looks like he's really fighting it. Talk about a guy struggling. And Zay Jones, Amari Cooper is in his third year now. I think they were expecting all much bigger things. And listen, Amari Cooper's still a great athlete. He's obviously puts up 44 points in standard PPR leagues this week in fantasy. I mean, he's definitely a guy that if you can get on track, you better be careful of. So this week, they better be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone said, good to see Tywin Jones get some snaps. Unfortunately, that Tyrod missed him in the end zone on a bad pass. I remember that play. Nate, your mic.
It wasn't a bad pass. Okay, Tywin slowed up for 1 second, and it made him about a second late. That ball was in the exact spot. I thought he was about an inch away from the ball, his fingertips were. And had he not hesitated for that, like, literal 1 second, I thought it would have been a perfectly timed pass. So don't say bad pass. Wasn't a bad pass.
And he, like, if it was my understanding, it almost like he almost stumbled too.
Stumbled. Yeah. It was like a stumble, right? He like came out of his break weird or something. And that wasn't a bad pass.
What's great about that play is I actually, for some reason, was sitting on the 50-yard line this game right behind the Bills bench and right behind Rick Dennison. And noticed that that was like the play before they called a timeout because Tywin didn't go onto the field like he was supposed to. They called the play. It was a wheel route. He was going to make that play was designed in that situation. Tyrod knew exactly where to throw that. That was the play he wanted to the player he wanted. The read was there. So fortunately, I'm just going to go with Tyrod in this one, that was where the ball was supposed to be, just due to the fact they called a timeout prior to that play. And they were airing for Tywin to get onto the field. Right. He wasn't running onto the field. That's why they needed a timeout. So it would have been worth it had they scored that, but they did end up chewing up one of their timeouts there. And someone says, how about Shamarco Thomas? Any thoughts on Shamarco real quick?
Let's just, no, I just, you know, not yet. Let's just hope that the health is there this Sunday so that we don't have to talk about depth players.
Absolutely. And I think with that, I think lastly, we can talk about Jordan Poyer real quick. I do believe it's day to day, and I do think he's going to be okay. As there was tweets and even he said himself, he should be okay.
I think too, Kevin, that Trey Elston is the next guy in. I think, you know, he's probably your fourth guy. So let's just hope right now that we don't have to talk.
And Shamarco Thomas is a pure special teamer. He was brought in because he has played it. He's played it pretty well. He's played it his entire career, did it in Syracuse. He's a special teamer. He presents, you know, that the Bills do allocate a lot of special team spot. That's might be some of their success so far. So Shamarco is a special teamer. I don't, like Nate said, I don't think there's any reason to talk about him, but this is Locked On Bills live edition. I'm Kevin Misery from mybookie.ag. Give it a shot. You know, use promo code Locked On. Nate Geary, anything you're working on? Anything you want to shout out?
Tyrod Taylor film breakdown coming up, should be Wednesday, Thursday. So pay attention, keep it out. It'll be a good one this week.
Absolutely. You can follow me at Kevin Misery and our new Twitter handle that we're using at Locked On Bills and at Nate Geary WGR. So thanks for tuning in, guys. And, this is Locked On Bills.